Good morning. Welcome to Bethany Church. If you would stand with us, we're going to use this time to praise and worship Jesus. If you're able, you can stand with us as we worship.
Come, let us worship our King. Come, let us bow at His feet. Savior is done. See how His love overcomes. He has done great things. He has done great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive and break every chain. Your freedom, awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, Your name lifted high, oh God. You have done great things. You've been faithful through every storm. You'll be faithful forever. Promises, yes and amen. You will do great things, God. You do great things. Oh, hero of heaven, you conquer the grave. You free every captive, break every chain. Oh, God, you have done great things. We dance to Your freedom. Awake and alive. Oh, Jesus, our Savior, Your name lifted high. Oh, God, You have done great things. Hallelujah, God, above it all. Hallelujah, God, unshakable.
Father, thank You for this morning, for the sunshine, for these people that are here to worship You and Your name in this place. Be with us all. Be with Pastor Sheila as she brings our message later. And be with us all throughout the week. In the name of Your most holy Son, amen. You may be seated. Okay, announcements. As you can see, Pastor Jim is not here. He skipped town. He does that now and again. So it's been a little while since Pastor Sheila has been here, but she's been here before, so I can't recall how long it's been, though. But glad to have you with us today. And as I will remind you, no dinner and Bible study until September 11th, unless something changes. And That's about it. I don't think there's anything much going on right now. Oh, yes. The going away soiree for Reverend Dr. Karen Odakara, which is, I can't read the date on it. Is that next Sunday? Yeah, that's next Sunday at, excuse me, at Lighthouse Church of God. So if any of you are interested in going, there's a phone number in there to call to RSVP. She will be missed. And August the 24th, if you haven't heard this wonderful woman speak, she has a heart for God, and she is very much, she's an excellent speaker, and it's a simulcast. Tickets are $25 because they have to pay for the simulcast rights. But down at Metropolitan, you can sign up online, and it's a wonderful thing. And the QRS code. Alrighty, take it away.
We're going to worship with a few more songs before the message. If you'd like to stand with us and you're able, you may do so as we worship God.
I love you, Lord. Oh, your mercy never fails me. And all my days I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am in,
oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
I love your voice. You have led me through the fire. Darkest nights, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. And all my life you have been faithful. All my life you have been so, so good. With every breath that I am in,
oh, I will sing of the goodness of God.
Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. With my life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me. My life laid down, I surrender now, I give you everything. Your goodness is running after, it's running after me.
so, so good. With every breath that I am in,
oh, I will sing of the goodness of
God. And all my life you have been faithful. So good. With every breath that I'm able, oh, I will sing of the goodness of God. Oh, I'm gonna sing of the goodness of God.
God really loves us.
God, we sing that today. Holy, holy, holy. We praise your name and your name alone. For yours is the name that should be lifted up. You're who we turn to when there's doubts, when there's fears. God, we thank you for your ever-continuing presence. God, we thank you that no matter what we go through, if we're struggling right now, if we're facing sickness or financial issues, or if there's a loved one that we know that's going through hardship, God, we thank you and remind ourselves in this moment that you are holy. You alone are holy. Your name that we lift up and we praise no matter what our circumstances are. God, I pray that we ready our hearts to receive from you, that we ready our hearts to hear from you and to learn from you today. God, bless our time here. Bless this worship. Bless the words that come out of Pastor Sheila's mouth. I thank you for everything that you have given and blessed us with. In your name I pray. Amen.
Bow before him, and heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. He is so strong and powerful, yet he is a loving and merciful God. He is our God. He, our Jesus, now sits at the right hand of God the Father. He sits there waiting to hear from us, God's children, waiting to hear what our requests are and what our concerns are, so that he can take it to our Father in heaven. This is prayer time. In our bulletins, we have a list of various prayer concerns. I would ask that you would just take a moment and draw your attention to the needs that are listed there. Not only do we have individuals, but there are ministries on the list. We're praying for our leaders on the list. Our list asks us to pray for our leaders. We're lifting up our schools. We're lifting up those who serve in our communities. Much to pray about. Much to pray about. But we serve a God who is able. Let us be agreed in prayer. Father God, we come to you with hearts that are full of thanksgiving. Thankful that you are our God and we have an opportunity to worship and to praise you. Thankful for what you did on the cross. We know that because of what you did at the cross, we can come and we can bring our prayer needs and we can bring our concerns to you, and you will take them to our Father in heaven who will hear us and who will answer us. Father, as the song said, you are a great God and you have done great things. Father, as we look back over our lives, we can testify of your goodness. So there's no need for us to fear that you will not intercede on behalf of these needs. So Father, right now we just say thank you. We say thank you for answering the prayers. We thank you for your move of healing, and we thank you for your move of deliverance, oh God. We thank you, oh God, for your hand of provision, your hand of mercy upon every prayer request, every prayer need that is being lifted up in our hearts. And Father, as you move, we pray, God, that we would be so careful to give you the glory, to give you the praise, and to give you the honor that is due only to you. These things we ask in Jesus' name. And together we say, amen, amen. I am, again, Sheila Granger. I serve at Community Church of God, where Pastor Portia Mann is the senior pastor in Ypsilanti, Michigan. And as our dear sister has said, I have worshiped with you before, so it is my privilege and my honor to be with you again today. One of the things I really enjoy about going to other churches and ministering is the opportunity to be united with my other brothers and sisters. You know, when you're in a family and you grow up in the same house together, you know your brothers and sisters in the same house. But when you get an opportunity to go into a different house, it is a blessing to meet your other brothers and sisters. So my brothers and my sisters, I greet you in the name of Jesus this morning. I greet you with the love of Jesus this morning. See, in unity, as we consider unity, we want to consider communion. Communion is about unity. It is about our unity with Christ. Communion is what we do because the scriptures has told us, do this in remembrance of me. When we remember what Jesus did for us, we remember his life. We remember his death. We remember his burial. And we remember his resurrection. So this morning, we come to the table in thanksgiving, thankful that he has prepared a table, thankful that we have received his forgiveness, thankful that we are in unity with him. We are in communion with him. Scripture tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 28, that when we participate in this ordinance, when we participate in this celebration, the Apostle Paul has said that we ought to examine ourselves before we eat the bread and before we drink of the cup. For if we eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, we are eating and drinking God's judgment upon ourselves. Let us take a moment and pray. Examine ourselves and pray. Father, we thank you for this opportunity, this moment, to do what you have asked us to do. God, we come in remembrance of you and what you have done. We come, God, honoring you, honoring your life, honoring your sacrifice. Father, thankful that you are our God and we are your sons and daughters. So at this moment, we celebrate. We come to the table in celebration of who you are, but who we are in you. We ask, Lord, that you would bless the cup and that you would bless the bread. These elements now represent your body and your blood that were broken and shed for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Reading from the book of 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verses 23 through 26, and I pray that those of you who have come in have had an opportunity to take a cup and you are prepared. We want you to know that this is an open table. If you are in fellowship with Jesus Christ, if you believe that he has died for your sins and you have received that, you are welcome to join us in this part of the celebration. The scripture reads as thus, for I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself. On the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread and he gave thanks to God for it. Then he broke it in pieces and said, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Let us take our bread and let us eat together, showing that we are united in Christ and we are united as a part of his body. In the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this in remembrance of me as often as you drink it. Let us drink. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, saints, you are announcing the Lord's death to others until he comes again. Amen. Amen. Again, I am So excited to be here to worship with you today. As our dear sister said, Pastor Matt and Sister Beth have had an opportunity to go and visit with family. And so I am so grateful for them having that opportunity to do that. The life of pastoral ministry is one that is demanding. So I'm so grateful that they have done what Jesus said, that there are times of rest that are needed. So we're so grateful that they have had this opportunity to go and rest and spend time with family. Before we get into the word this morning, I just want to pray if we can. And I'm going to ask you to pray for me. Amen. Will you pray for me as I deliver the word, that I will be a conduit of God's word? Amen. So let's just touch and agree this morning. Father, we thank you once again. We thank you that you have given us your word, God, in written form. God, and we thank you, God, that your word, written so many years ago, still speaks today. And Lord, as we open up the holy word, the holy writ today, and we consider your scripture, we pray, God, that we would have eyes to see and that we would have ears to hear. And after the hearing and after the seeing, God, that our hands and our feet would have application of what the Spirit is saying. Prepare your vessels now to receive. God, we've spoken to you in song and we've spoken to you through prayer. But God, now speak to us that we may be better servants in your kingdom. These things we ask in the name of Jesus, and all people in agreement together we say, amen, amen. This morning I want to share with you from the word of God, from the book of Luke, from Luke the physician's writing. Let us go to chapter 15, and I'd like to look at verses 11 through 24. Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24. I'll be reading in your hearing this morning from the New Living Translation of the Bible, and I believe that we have it on the screen for your viewing as well. And the Word of God reads, to illustrate the point further, Jesus told them this story. A man had two sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share of your estate now before you die. So his father agreed to divide his wealth between his sons. The younger son told his father, I want my share now. A few days later, this younger son packed all his belongings and moved to a distant land. And there he wasted all his money in wild living. About the time his money ran out, a great famine swept over the land and he began to starve. He persuaded a local farmer to hire him, and the man sent him into his field to feed the pigs. The young man became so hungry that even the pods he was feeding the pigs looked good to him, but no one gave him anything. When he finally came to his senses, someone say with me, when he finally came to his senses, he said to himself, at home, even the hired servants have food enough to spare, and here I am dying of hunger. I'll go home to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you, and I am no longer worthy of being called your son. Please take me on as a hired servant. So he returned home to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him coming. Filled with love and compassion, he ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against both heaven and you. I am no longer worthy of being called your son. But his father said to the servants, quick, bring the finest robe in the house and put it on him, and get a ring for his finger and sandals for his feet, and kill the calf we have been fattening. We must celebrate with a feast, for this son of mine was dead and has now returned to life. He was lost, but now he is found. So the party began. I want to use for a focus verse, verse number 17, when he finally came to his senses. As I have thought about us and our time together, that's kind of where the Lord had landed my hat, on that particular verse, those particular words, when he finally came to his senses. And I want us to use for a thought, a theme, if you will, today, return to me. The son in this story knows that his father has something for him. He knows his father has something, but instead of using it in the father's house, this son decides to take what the father has for him outside of the father's house. There's a word in that today. There are people who are blessed with talents that were once used in the church. There's the country pop duo, Dan and Shay. Shay Mooney from that group grew up in the church, was reared in Christian schools. We also have Britney Spears, started in the church. Justin Timberlake, started in the church. Katy Perry, started in the church. Whitney Houston, started in the church. There are those who have been blessed with talent that were once in the church, but are no more. Is there anything you have taken from your father's house? Have you taken your presence from your father's house? Have you taken time from your father's house? What about communication from your father's house? I'm talking about prayer. What about your other resources that God has blessed you with? The different talents and gifts and all that he has given to you. The financial things that God has blessed you with. Have you taken them from your father's house? This son left the protective covering of his father's house. He no longer shows up at the house. And while they're at one from the other, the father from the son slowly starts to reject what his father represents, and he assimilates into this new world that he's living in. He's doing life his way now. But he soon finds out, saints, that doing life in his father's house is better than doing life away from it. The Ecclesiastes writer tells us that two people are better than one. The reason? Because they have a good reward for their labor. One can always help the other. If you're in the house, hey man, if you're in the house of God, if I come in with a prayer need, if I come in with a heavy heart, then I have one brother or one sister who can help me lift the load. If I come into the house of God and I'm feeling a little low, I can have the help and the strength of my other brothers and sisters to help lift me up. I'm looking around today, and I know that I'm here. If I have a heavy heart and there's a burden in my life, I believe that I have at least one brother or one sister. But as I'm looking around, I'm counting more than one. I'm counting more than two. I'm counting more than three. Can you imagine what happens when the body of Christ comes together in the house of God? The Bible says that two are better than one. So in the house, if I have more than two, can you imagine the power that is in the house? This son chose to leave the house. But I believe that this son began to think about this, because the scripture we read says that he came to himself. The Passion Translation says it this way: humiliated, The son finally realized what he was doing. Have you ever had a moment where you have had to come to yourself, where you're doing something and you thought it was okay, but then you get the revelation, it's not so okay. I don't think what I'm doing is what I should be doing. This is the moment that this son is having. He realizes that what I have been doing, the thing I thought would be a good life for me, the way that I have been going, the what I have been doing, that which I thought was okay is not okay. He has this moment. We call it an encounter with the Holy Spirit, where the Holy Spirit begins to bring conviction. We still believe that the Holy Spirit still speaks, right? And that's what he does. He begins to convince us that the way that we're going is not the way that God would have us to go. The scripture says that this son finally came to himself. And so the return begins. When you begin to acknowledge that the places that you are in, the place that you're going, is not what God would have you to do. I'm so thankful that God gives us an opportunity for return. That conviction causes us to want to change our ways. It causes us to want to change our path. It causes us to want not what we want, but it causes us to greater want what God wants for our life. 1 John 1:9 says, when we confess, when we come clean, saints, about where we are, our Father in heaven is faithful and just to forgive us. See, this acknowledgement by the Son began to cause a change in his heart. This acknowledgement caused a change in his heart. And this change in his heart began to cause a change in his mind. This change in his mind provided the path for him to begin to return to God. You know, sometimes when we have done certain things and we have said certain things, or we have been away from the house of God for so long, we can be hesitant about coming back to the Father. We're not sure how he is going to receive us. But I want you to know that when you return to God in a spirit of conviction, in a spirit of saying, Father, I'm sorry, Father, forgive me, that he will give you greater revelation of who he is. That is the opportunity. The Bible tells us that when we are weak, that is when our Father is made strong. God will show himself in a way, he will reveal himself in a way that he has never revealed himself to you before. Yes, there is the wrath of God, but God's preference is for mercy. His preference is to show compassion towards his children. Let's let David be our witness. In Psalm chapter 30, David testifies this way. It says that after he returned to the Father, after he came back to the Father's house, he says that our God's anger only lasts for a moment. Is God disappointed? Does he expect different? Does he want different? Yes. But his anger only lasts for a moment. Friend, what has happened does not matter. God is waiting for your return. Here's another reference. In the second chapter, the 13th verse of the book of Joel, the prophet wrote this: return to the Lord your God, for he is merciful and compassionate, very patient, full of faithful love, and ready to forgive. God is ready to forgive. He wants to forgive. He is waiting for us. He is waiting for our return. He is waiting to love on us. The young man in the parable said that when he got home, his plan was to run and tell his father, Father, I'm not even worthy. I'm not worthy of being called your son. Just let me come back and I won't even be your son. Just let me be a servant. I want somebody to know today that you are worthy. That God says that you are worthy. Whatever you have done, whatever you have said, wherever you have been, God says you're still worthy of my love. Whatever state you find yourself in right now, you are worthy of being the Father's child. You are worthy of returning back into His house. God says, today I want you to return to me. Come back to me. And I believe that there are those who are, will be listening on this line, and I believe that God is saying, return back to me. Not just those in this house, but those who will listen later or who are listening now. God says, return to me. And just like this son, he'll see you coming. And he's going to wave you in. He'll be standing there waiting to embrace you, waiting to kiss you, waiting to welcome you back home to your Father's house. Return to me, the Lord says. And he's waiting to celebrate your return. And I believe that there's a whole group here at Bethany Church of God. And they're waiting to attend the party. The Bible says that when that son came home, there was a party. I believe that Bethany Church of God will welcome those who will be coming home, who will return to God. I believe that Bethany Church of God knows how to throw a party. They're ready to welcome you home. When I read this passage of scripture, the Lord just began to reveal three things to me. He began to talk to me about the return to God. We see the prodigal son and his return to God. He left God's house and went out to another house. But then we see him coming to himself. And he returns back to God. We see that when he goes back to God, what he expected from the Father and what he received were two different things. He expected that the Father would, in penalty, say, you're not my son, but yeah, I can let you at least be a servant. But we see that God is a God of restoration. God restored him as a son. Not only did he restore him as a son, but he put a ring on his finger to symbolize that he's my son. Beloved, if you return to God, I want you to know that he will call you his own. He'll put a ring on your finger. He will celebrate you. There is a renewing by God, is what I saw on the scripture. The renewing comes with the return back to church. If I can think of it in contemporary times, if I can think of it today, we know that there are so many that have not returned back to church. As we were driving to church, we talked about that this morning, how the pandemic has affected so many. And there are so many who have chosen to do church online. And I am not opposed to it. But what I would say is this. Being at home, you don't get the benefit of being in communion with your brothers and sisters the same way. I don't get to touch you and to hug you. You don't get to see the presence of God. You don't get to feel the presence of God through another human being. God says, return to me, to return to my house. The other thing about this renewing, the renewing of the mind, the scripture is talking about the backslider. Maybe there are those who have once been in the presence of God and have now decided to go another way. So we see this young man, this the prodigal son, and we focus on that he left God and he returned back to God. But I want to focus today on the God of goodness. That there is such goodness in God that even if you have left, when you return, God says, come on back. And as I look at the story, I don't see God asking him a whole bunch of questions. The father doesn't say, well, what did you do? Well, why did you leave? He just welcomed him back. That's what our heaven, that's the goodness of God. God says, I don't need to know. You don't have to explain all of that. The son is trying to explain. The father cuts him off. Welcome back. Welcome back home. But the other thing that I saw in this scripture when I'm thinking about the renewing is for those of us who are the Christian, to return to the secret place in God. The secret place. You know, there are seasons in our life, or maybe when we first start walking with God, we spend inordinate time just in His presence. We go and we get into the presence of God in prayer and just reading His Word, just one-on-one time. Have you ever had a friend that maybe you talk to him as a friend on the phone from time to time, occasionally? But sometimes you'll say, well, we got to get together, and then you meet for lunch. Or you meet for dinner, and now you spend this extended time together, and you realize that that fellowship of this extended time of doing lunch together has been more intimate than the conversations, the passing conversations you had on the phone. God says, I want to have dinner with you. I want to have lunch with you. I want to spend some extended time with you. I recently had an opportunity to do a solitude retreat, a 24-hour solitude retreat. The retreat was a part of a requirement for a program that I'm in. And as I was driving to the retreat center, I just really just literally just started crying because I was so looking forward to just spending time alone with Him. Just Him. Now, I've been doing the work of the Lord. I've been serving God. I've been praying for people. I've been praying for my assignment. I've been praying for myself. But had I been just spending extended time, just me and Him, admittedly, it had been a long time. It had been a while since we had just spent time together. And I heard the Lord during that experience saying, Sheila, return to me. Yes, you've been doing the work. Yes, you pray. But return to me in a way where you go into the secret place. Return to me in a way where you spend fellowship, intimate, long, extended time with me. Obviously, I missed Him. Because as I'm going to prepare, I'm crying. Because I'm anticipating. I'm looking forward to spending time with my friend, my father. And as much as I missed Him, I believe that He missed me too. God is saying to the saints of God, return to me. Return to that secret place. Return to that place where you just kind of lock in. We saw Priscilla Shire there, and there was a movie she did some years ago, War Room. I believe that was her movie, War Room, where she built a room where she just went into that closet. And just spent extended time, just her and the Father. God is calling for us to return to Him. That experience at that solitude retreat, it put into perspective, again for me, how much I miss the Lord. But it also put into perspective how I need times of consecration with the Lord. How I need those moments of just being with Him. The scripture came to mind, Luke chapter 9, verse 60. The scripture sounds like a harsh scripture. But it is, living in Christ is a life of sacrifice. The scripture reads, let the dead bury the dead. Jesus, a man wanted to follow Jesus. He wanted to get into the presence of Jesus. And Jesus said, Jesus, I'll follow you. I'm going to come with you. I'm going to be with you. But Jesus, but I have something to do. I have to bury my father. After I get that behind me, Jesus, then I will follow you. Then I will come and be intimate with you. Then I will consecrate with you. Then I will come and spend time with you. And Jesus' response was, you have to let the dead bury the dead. Jesus was reminding us that following Him means allowing Him to take precedence over obligations and over other relationships. It will require sacrifice to follow Jesus. And so today, my brothers and my sisters, I am challenging you through the Word of God to honor his request, return to me. Whether you are someone who has not been attending church regularly, or whether you're someone who's not been attending at all, God says, return to me. If you're someone who finds yourself no longer in fellowship with the Father, he is saying today, return to me. If you find yourself someone like me who has been busy doing the work of the Lord and you have not spent intimate, close, personal, extended time in his presence, just shedding everything out and just say, it's just me and you today, Lord. He's saying, return to me. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for who you are. And we thank you for what you've done. God, we thank you for who we can be in you if we would just return to you. So, Father, today you are calling upon your children to return. Return to a place of study in the Word of God. You're calling your children to a place of communion, a place of fasting and prayer. Father, you're calling us to a place of return. And Lord, I sense that there may be one among us, Lord, who has someone in their life that they desire to come home to you. I pray, God, that you would equip them with the words. I pray that you would equip them, God, for all that they need to be a witness and a light, that they may draw others to this God that we serve, this God that we love. We thank you for it. We thank you, God, that this word has fallen on good ground. And because of the ground, God, that these seeds of your word have fallen on, we believe, God, that we will reap a harvest because the seed has been planted. Water it, God. Give increase, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
On a hill far away,
pleasure once again to worship here with you today. As it is my usual custom, after the benediction, I will be around. If there's someone who wants to pray individually, I'll be available to pray with you. So I'll just be kind of hanging out. Amen. Let us stand and just prepare to leave this place, but never the presence of God. Lord God, we thank you again for what you did on the cross, and we thank you again for being your sons and your daughters. Father, we've been challenged with your word today, God, which says, return to me. I pray, Lord, that we would search ourselves individually and find those areas, oh God, identify those areas, Holy Spirit, in us What is the thing, oh God, that we have taken from the church, oh God, and taken it elsewhere? God, what is it that we need to bring back into the house of God? Is it our personage? Is it our resources? Is it our time? Is it our talent? God, what is it that we need to bring back to you, Lord? We thank you, Lord, for speaking to us individually. And Father, as you speak, we pray for the courage to walk in the path of righteousness. We pray for the courage, God, to walk in the way that you have identified for us. Father, your will be done in our lives. Your will, God, not our own. These things we ask in the name of Jesus. And God, we pray for Pastor and his wife as they return back to us, Lord. We pray, God, for safe travels. We thank you, Lord, for their time of renewing and refreshing. Lord, may they come back sharper as vessels in your kingdom. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Right, well, thank you.
Deep in the night, you are coming again with a shout.